Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Final hour of the program, final hour of the year. I don't know if it's the end of the decade or that's next year. Irrespective of the facts, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Just one more guest in our remaining hour in 40 minutes, because I still believe in the power of college football on New Year's Day. Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and then it's on to the national championship. We'll dig deep with one of the best in college sports media. It is Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. In 20 minutes, Rob Gronkowski has New Year plans for you. Details coming up. You want to party tonight with Gronk? It is a possibility. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. In all candor, if you want to get into the rotation, you got to call now. I'm open to a call or two in 20 minutes. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Emails, rome@haveatake.com. Been wall-to-wall football. Took you around the NFL with our two guests earlier in the show, Steve Weich of NFL Network, Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports, as we continue to be on Jason Garrett. Watch, 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 watch. According to reports, Garrett meeting with Jerry Jones as we speak for the second time in the span of 24 hours. Have no idea why this is taking so long, other than to come up with the cosmetics of how they want to frame the parting of the ways. We know, unless Jerry just does not give a damn, and that's possible, we know that Garrett will be pushed out. And within the last 15 minutes, we got the report from Adam Schefter of ESPN. The Browns, who fired Freddie Kitchens after their latest embarrassing loss on Sunday to the Cincinnati Bengals. That was a one-win Bengal team. And Freddie went one and done. Schefter reporting, the Browns now are leaning towards firing GM John Dorsey, which makes sense, which is odd, because things rarely make sense when we're talking about the Cleveland Browns. Could it be that Jimmy Haslam has finally awoken from his slumber and looked around and said, huh, we're an utter embarrassment. We're not anything close to a professional sports franchise. We haven't made the playoffs since 2002. We went 0-16 to tank, and what did that get us? We had one of our defensive stars lose his mind on national TV and almost kill Mason Rudolph with his own helmet. Maybe it's time for a profound culture change. But since it's the Browns, I'll believe it when it happens. This is too obvious. This is too straightforward. This is too rational for Cleveland to actually do it because, as we discussed earlier with Steve Weich of NFL Network, yes, Freddie Kitchens was overmatched from the start. Had never been a head coach on any level. Got that job because Baker Mayfield liked him. And that seems like a reasonable strategy. An immature, emotional quarterback given the keys to the coaching staff. So there's Freddie trying to make his way through that muddled mess, having Jarvis Landry yell at him. Odell Beckham Jr., to his credit, by his standards, compared to what he did in New York, close to a model citizen, although he did yell at Freddie a couple weeks ago. Problem was, he did virtually nothing on the field. And I still don't know why they drafted in recent years to try to build at that position. And if you just look at the stats, Jarvis Landry is a heck of a playmaker. And I know he and Odell are tight going back to LSU. But why do you trade for Odell Beckham Jr.? It just made no sense. It was talent duplication, other than the Browns wanted to win the headline battle. Well, how about you win some games? Because Cleveland keeps hitting that reset button. I thought the only thing that would have kept Freddie Kitchens around was at least the notion that we can't keep starting over. Even if he's the wrong guy, and he was. Look at all the foolish penalties. And clearly, Baker Mayfield took a step back. And if we're just going to redraft from a few years ago, Obviously, you're going Lamar 1 on his way to the MVP. Josh Allen 2. I might go with Sam Darnold. You saw how good he played coming back from mono. But Baker Mayfield, and I'm not doing revisionist history, was never suited, in my estimation, to be the number one overall pick. Undersized. Don't tell me that he's Fran Tarkenton or Russell Wilson. And we know about the immaturity, and that has been on display several times this year. Plus, I saw him making plays and pitches on commercials far more than I did anything of significance during the season. So Cleveland apparently is on the brink of blowing this thing up again, and then it'll be somebody else's mess. According to reports, it will not be the responsibility of Baylor head coach Matt Rhule. He's smart enough to stay away from that grease fire, turning down a chance to interview in Cleveland, being targeted by the Giants and the Panthers. He's the hot college coach in this hiring cycle, and we'll talk about it coming up in our final segment when we check in with Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Jason Garrett is just waiting for the inevitable, but all of this is a byproduct of where the Cowboys are, because this entire franchise, while there are certainly financial positives attached to this, you can't quibble with Jerry Jones' ability to make a buck, but the entire organization is the reflection of the ego of one man. And Jerry Jones has been too forgiving of Jason Garrett because of the personal relationship, and I'm not bashing that. Look, we live in a tough world, and one of my pet peeves with sports talk radio is coming up with exotic analogies. So I'm not going to craft the metaphor comparing what we do to professional coaches. There is one commonality, a lot of turnover. So I don't throw around the term loosely, people should be fired. But at this point, the Cowboys have been singing the same song for what? The last half decade? Full decade of Garrett's tenure? And I know the Dez catch, that wasn't a catch, that was a catch, should have been different. But it wasn't. And this is the ultimate bottom line industry. And when you underperform, I don't care coming into this year. The Cowboys had won the division title two of the last 3 years. 8-8 sums up what Garrett has failed to achieve over the last decade, which is an eon in professional sports, specifically the NFL. So if this is about the optics, how you put the message out in the best possible light, how you try to win another press conference, okay. Part of me thinks this is back to the attention-seeking motivation of Jerry Jones. What other owner has a press conference after every game? What other owner goes on the radio every week? Jerry loves every moment of the adulation. And what's going on right now? The news cycle being dominated by something that we know is going to happen. Jason Garrett's not keeping this job. So what's taking so long? Other than the Cowboys, love, what's going on right now? Because we're in that sort of weird window where it's a Tuesday, but it's a short week, and most people aren't working, and if you have to show up, you have my permission to mail it in. Nothing's going on today. And we have NFL games on Saturday and the College Bowls tomorrow. And yesterday was an uneventful Black Monday. Only Pat Shurmur was pushed out. Somehow Doug Marrone survives, even though Jacksonville's only won 11 games in the wake of a trip to the AFC title game. And we know that happens, what, every 15, 20 years in Jacksonville? Give me a Brunell, give me a Garrard, and then give me a Bortles. But Marrone is going to live another day to have another bologna sandwich and a few more beers like he had yesterday after the press conference. The Cowboys cannot get out of their own way, and I'm using plural when I should be talking singular. This is a reflection of one man and one man only, Jerry Jones. Terms of teams going to the playoffs. I don't want to contradict myself too quickly, because now you kids have the receipts. All these shows available on podcasts. I was in this chair a week ago. If it is a holiday or a holiday eve, Uncle B. Webb, happy to be with you at 1-800-636-8686. And yes, I just went third person. So, last time I was here on Christmas Eve, it was the day after the latest Monday Night Football loss for Kirk Cousins in terrible fashion once more. And I express a degree, keyword degree, a degree of confidence in the Packers as a team and Aaron Rodgers specifically. And not just because, if I'm going to self-report, I am an Aaron Rodgers fanboy. I would have had no problem if you want to put him on that list of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. You can go Marino, and again, because we are stuck in the past, yes, I'm older than 25. I appreciate history. Otto Graham's got to be there with all the championships, but if we're just talking stylistically, what I appreciate about Rodgers is his flair, his penchant for the big play. The magnitude of the moment does not overwhelm him, but I'm paid to be honest, and by now, hopefully, your BS meter is attuned enough to know when people are telling you something they don't believe. I can't sell you or myself the notion that Aaron Rodgers looks the same this year. Now, you want to talk age? Okay, he's 36. This is not a Philip Rivers falling apart situation. And Rivers should be done with professional football. He's got 19 kids and the Ponderosa in San Diego enjoy being the father of the year. And the Chargers, who couldn't sell out a tiny soccer stadium in Southern California, now we're moving to a giant stadium that the renters at. They have to do something, anything, to create buzz. And that starts with getting a new quarterback. And could it be Tom Brady? We'll kick that around in less than 10 minutes. But I don't think it's age that's motivating what's going on with Rodgers. I think some of it is scheme. And I'm not an X's and O's guy. I'm not Jaws putting on the old 22 and breaking it down. But if you track football closely, you realize Rodgers played in one system for his entire career. Here comes Matt LaFleur. There's an adjustment period. They're actually running the football for the first time since, I don't know, Dorsey Levens. For handing out the team MVP, first name is Aaron. It's not Rodgers, it's Aaron Jones. And that's good for this team come playoff time. The defense has stepped up. But I think the issue is going to be not only the failings of the Packers, because show me the quality win. I'm not going week by week, but that is a lean resume for a team that's the 2 seed, has a bye, and won 13 games. But whomever they play, let's say it's the Saints coming to Lambeau Field. Do you think Green Bay's winning that game? And you could talk about Drew Brees, the differential indoors, outdoors. This is a different Drew Brees this year because he's rested, because he got a lot of time off with the thumb injury, and because the Saints finally got a healthier Alvin Kamara the last couple weeks. They're running the football again, and nobody can stop Mike Thomas. Imagine if that team gets a second receiver. So I'm not completely contradicting myself even more than I have in the past. I still believe in Aaron Rodgers, but it will not stun me if this team does not take advantage of any home field advantage in the postseason. Remember, they lost to the Eagles earlier this year at Lambeau Field, because Rodgers just seems like he's taken a step back this year. And for those of us who are members of the Aaron Rodgers fan club, let's hope that perhaps he's rejuvenated by the bye. But, you know, I watch these games for 7 hours doing commercial-free red zone radio every week. And when I watched Rodgers last Sunday and then looked up the numbers post-game, 27 of 55, he was incredibly inaccurate. First half against the Lions. Well, the Saints have a better defense than you think. So I'm conflicted here. I'm all in with Rodgers, but I can't lie to you. Say what you mean what you say. Rodgers does not look the same. And when the Packers are one and done, then the question becomes, what is his future looking like? Is this a step back? Is this an aberration? Or is this the start of the inevitable decline? 1-800-636-8686. Your phone calls potentially coming up. Another email. B. Webb, if Jason Garrett is fired, we will be advocating that our kind is fairly represented in the league somewhere. Sincerely, Ginger Nation and Clappers, Eric in Colorado. If we're doing clap on, clap off, that's Ike. Oh, did you get my gift? Garrett Ritt? Got him the Chia Pet? Chia hair, certainly. You can wear that. It's a little cold here in Southern California. I've fallen and I can't get up. Anything sold by Rodko circa 1988. G-Written I are loving it. Coming up in 20 minutes, we get you set for tomorrow's bowl games and the national championship when we say hello to Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com and the College Football News Podcast. Straight ahead, your phone calls, and do you want to party with Gronk on this New Year's Eve? We'll give you all the particulars. Thank you for kicking off what is a overhyped and ridiculous evening, but it's the start of a new year coming up. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome on this New Year's Eve. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on this New Year's Eve here on CBS Sports Radio. Tomorrow, as you ring in the new year, be sure to keep it where it is, because if you miss Jim delivering the year in review in his final program of 2019, encore presentation tomorrow, definitely worth checking out. Second most important day in the jungle, second only to the Smack Off. Jim, back with you on Thursday. You can tweet at me during or after the program, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. And coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk college football. January 1st, still controlled by what's happening in the college game. Look ahead to some marquee matchups, namely the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and an early preview of the national championship. Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com, is on the way. Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? I have a beef with cliches, although it's the foundation of what we do and sports talk radio, so I have to be careful not to bash myself too much. But this time of the year, we think about some of these classic statements. Bromides out there, Brohelius. How about the notion that Father Time is undefeated, right? Get all these weird cartoons heading into a new year of the old battered guy representing the old year, giving way to that endearing baby who's the new year. Always struck me as kind of creepy, but I'm going to keep things light because it is a holiday eve. But we hear it all the time in sports. Father Time is undefeated. Tom Brady somehow looks younger and younger every year, maybe because of who he's married to. But one of these years is going to be the end for Brady. I'm not predicting that's happening now, but I do think there's a real possibility that when we get to the conclusion of the Patriots season, which I don't think is going to happen this weekend against Tennessee. I think it happens, if the seedings hold up, next weekend at Arrowhead Stadium. But whenever it's over this year, I think it's over for Brady in New England. There are so many clear signs, as we detailed with Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports in the last hour of the show, that things are aligning for an exit from Brady, unless he has been swerving all of us and is just going to walk away. And I don't think that's the case, because Brady seems thoroughly consumed by the competition, the preparation, and what happens on Sundays. I think part of him is also a bit afraid of what he would do with that void in his life. And I'm sure he loves his kids, and I'm sure he's a great husband and a great son. But when you have devoted so many years with a singular focus, it's got to be challenging to know when to walk away. And yes, he looks older. He always does heading into the playoffs. And that's why the bye is critical for him and the Patriots. Another reason why they're not going to the Super Bowl this year. And even if they beat the Chiefs, I don't think that's going to happen. Kansas City, with all of those playmakers and all of that speed and a defense that's gotten better over the last 6 weeks and Honey Badger getting it done in the secondary, has already beaten New England at Gillette Stadium. Patriots forced to play on Wild Card Weekend for the first time since 2009. Chiefs should have won AFC title game in regulation last year, but for the Dee Ford offsides call. So I don't think it is just hot take alley. Phil would love it to say the Patriots will not be going to the Super Bowl this year. And when that happens, what next? Do we take Brady at his word that 45 is the goal? Now, Robert Kraft will get involved. And this is not about money. I don't think. Brady's got enough. Always can have more. And remember, he did begin that trend of taking a little bit less, although he was always able to transform the contract into something fully guaranteed. That was the magic trick. But I think for Brady, even with that relationship with Robert Kraft, part of him wants to see what he can do without Bill Belichick. Because if you go through the lineage of this dynasty, Belichick had the season with Matt Castle that they didn't make the playoffs, but they still won 10 games. So there is that small window in which Belichick demonstrated he could get it done without Brady. Brady has never had a period in his career that he's had to play without Bill Belichick. And maybe part of him wants to explore what that would feel like and what that would look like. So we can do the parlor game of where Brady could be headed. I mentioned the Chargers in passing. Now, that would be thoroughly un-Charger-like. If you know anything about the Spanos family, they're as inept as the Cleveland Browns have been for a very long time. But I think the league, very quietly, might get involved here. Because the league has a lot on the line with the Chargers' failed experiment in Los Angeles. And moving into a giant new stadium that's going to be taken over as that tiny soccer stadium was the last few years. Chargers have to sell some tickets. They have to do something. So whether it's you make a run at Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater, something's got to change. But Brady, like most affluent people, has a home in Southern California. Josh McDaniels is reportedly being courted by other teams already interested in interviewing him. Well, what if it's a package deal? What if Brady and McDaniels come to the Chargers? And this is obviously fantasy football, but it's out there, and I think it's worthy of conversation. And to me, it's more interesting than, is this the death of the Patriots dynasty coming up on Saturday? The next chapter for Brady, I think, is really the compelling talking point. But we know Father Time is undefeated, as is another cliche. You need to get your drink on New Year's Eve. And let's preface this one by saying what we know to be true. Drink responsibly. Don't even think of drinking and driving. It's never been easier to get a rideshare or cab. So if you can plan on how many beers you need tonight, plan on how you're going to get home safely. But history tells us your need to get your drink on New Year's Eve is so powerful, even more than Father Time, it's undefeated. Rocky Marciano may have never lost a fight, but that's nothing compared to your need to get lubed up on New Year's Eve. If we're talking college football coming up with Pete Futak, go back to a couple of years ago when the Rhodes Scholars who run that thing decided they were going to start a new tradition by putting the national semifinals on New Year's Eve. They figured, well, you watch football on Thanksgiving, you watch the NBA and Christmas, you'll watch big-time college football on New Year's Eve. Move over, Ryan Seacrest. Here comes the college football playoff. And what happened? The games got crushed in the ratings. Why? Because you need to get your drink on, and that is not going to change. So, if you are thinking about venturing out tonight, and any rational person over the age of 25 knows, New Year's Eve is always a colossal disappointment. You can disregard everything I've said about sports for the last 2 hours and 38 minutes. Listen to Uncle Brian here. Stay at home. Save your money. You'll feel better tomorrow. Your wallet won't be empty, and you'll have a little bit of dignity or avoid a fight with family and friends. And if you're staying home, well, I know one guy who embraces that notion of getting your drink on, who's waiting for you. Gronk's going to be joining Steve Harvey on one of those network countdown shows tonight as the ball drops. And if there was ever a night for Gronk, it is tonight. Now, let's think about a self-aware person. I'm not saying that Gronk is a Mensa member, but he understands who he is and his brand. Because what has he done post-football? And wouldn't the Patriots love him on Saturday? Offense looks totally different without Rob Gronkowski. Gronk's resume now includes spokesman for cannabis-based products. He's been doing terrible features on Fox. But, hey, he's Gronk. He's a big polar bear. Take his shirt off. He's having a good time. And what's going to happen tonight? There's Gronk. He's in the crowd. But as much as Michael Strahan now has to be a part of every show, I think that's an FCC regulation. And Strahan will be on some show tonight. You can bet whatever money you're saving by not going out. And I like Mike. I'm not hating on him. Get every dollar you can. Although, stay away from the game shows, all right? That is a skill. I don't need Strahan or Elizabeth Banks or Alec Baldwin showing up on Press Your Luck. But at least Gronk knows who he is. And we're going to find out again tonight that he is a mastermind. This is the most Gronk-alicious evening of them all. So if you need to get your drink on, stay home. And think about what Gronk might be coming up with for his New Year's resolutions. Let's make out the list together. Okay, let me grab a pen. Item number one, tan more. It's tan every day. Two, bring back the Gronk cruise because he's not playing. He can do whatever he wants. And three, and most important, headline the main event at WrestleMania. Because you know that's coming. Gronk already on Fox. And I got to get a little wrestling in. Part of my deal as a fill-in host. If it was good enough for LT or Refrigerator Perry, nothing says Gronk expanding his brand than dominating in the squared circle. Coming up, more of your tweets and emails, plus going to wrap up this hour and this year talking college football. January 1 still belongs to the college game. We'll focus on the bowls that matter and the national championship. How will Clemson try to slow down LSU? Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com, and the College Football News Podcast is going to join us. But first, it's time for a sports update. Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome, final segment of the program and the year. Let's get you set for the traditional college football games coming up tomorrow and a peek ahead to the national championship with our good friend Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com and the College Football News Podcast. Pete, happy holidays. How are you?
Hey, no pressure at all. I just have to kind of basically close out your decade with something magical here, don't I?
Although, Pete, you're smart. The decade doesn't end until next year because there was no year zero, right?
I learned that from Seinfeld, yes, that the millennium, they messed up and they got the chairs too early. Yes, that's absolutely right.
Another contemporary reference. Hey, let's start.
It's a lot easier this time.
I know. Look, that's why I'm the fill-in host. I'm always looking for minutia. Let's start with the college football playoff. We knew that LSU had an incredible offense coming into the game, but the way that first half played out, was that much more of an indictment of Oklahoma?
A little bit of an indictment that it just the right fit, the right time. And look, Joe Burrow was just fantastic. And he hasn't been off all year. And there hasn't been a blip yet. The Oklahoma defense is fine this year. It was better than it was in the last couple of years. But that defense is rising up now. That's kind of the difference. And last year, Alabama came into the national championship and like, well, this offense is going to rise back up and I don't know if Clemson can stop this thing, but Alabama was limping into the national championship. This LSU team is rocking and rolling. That 50-3 win over Texas A&M kind of blown off a little bit. They basically just did a business-like performance against Georgia where they didn't really have to try and do something wacky, and they won easily. And obviously, this is amazing. I mean, they're not just beating some directional MAC school or something here. I mean, that was Oklahoma that they just ripped apart. And look, sometimes everything just clicks, and it just did that day.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Pete, understandably, NFL talk has dominated the show today, so let's connect the college game to the pros. What is your outlook for Joe Burrow? Will he be good enough to overcome the stench of having to play for the Bengals?
If he's got the guys around him, yes, of course. Here's the thing about Joe Burrow. Yeah, he's been fantastic. He's got the size. He's got the tools. This is no fluke. You can't just fake this type of accuracy, especially on the deep ball plays. But remember what he's doing here. Yes, he is deadly accurate. He has been amazing. You don't just hit 78% of your passes. You know, look, he's right. He got 74% of his throws against Oklahoma, and he had an off day. So you don't just do that without having something right. At the same time, essentially what he's doing here is he's putting the ball up in the air, and his NFL receivers are coming up with a rebound. And they're doing it over and over and over again, and it works. It's not just that, obviously. He is hitting everything, you know, that's there and not there, and he's hitting covered receivers, which is what you have to do in the NFL. But, yeah, he's fantastic. I don't think he's Trevor Lawrence at the next level. I don't think he's a healthy Tua Tagovailoa at the next level. But certainly with the number one overall pick, if you're Cincinnati, you have to at least take the shot that maybe, just maybe, he's Carson Palmer part two.
Especially because he's from the state of Ohio, and maybe you get a little buzz finally surrounding that franchise. Pete, we're going to not have the opportunity to chat prior to the national championship game. So here's the number that jumps out to me, and I know you appreciate history. For the first time, we've got the nation's best regular season offense and the best regular season defense meeting for the title. Is Clemson going to be able to slow down LSU?
I'm going to guess that that's absolutely true. It seems like that's happened before at some point in the BCS era, but I'm going to trust that that is correct. Yeah, but there's kind of a reason why that's the number one defense in Clemson, because they played in the ACC. I know the ACC's playing well this bowl season, and I know it's been all right, but they also didn't play a team that was ranked in the college football playoff top 25 until Virginia kind of slipped in there at the very end. Clemson almost got their lunch handed to them by Ohio State. Look, if you know, yes, it's up to Clemson to come for the stops, but look, if that 16-0 start turns into 24-0, if they're just able to get one more touchdown, that's probably over. But give them credit. You know, look, Clemson finds a way to do this. Clemson figures out how to win these close games. But can they come up with something? Can you come up with anything that slows down Joe Burrow? Look, it's not like people haven't tried. Look, Florida has a great defense. I know they didn't show it last night, but Florida has a great D. They were able to hold Joe Burrow to 293 passing yards, and they lost. Auburn was able to slow the game down to a crawl, and they lost. Georgia's got a great defense. LSU's been able to adjust and adapt as well. This is going to have to be on the defense, and I think the partially overlooked part of this game is going to be that LSU D that pretty much shut down Jalen Hurts and has been getting better and better as the season went on.
Spotlighting the college game with Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com, and check out the College Football News podcast. Pete, how about the old bromide about bowl games typically coming down to which team has motivation and actually wants to play? Let's connect that to the matchup tomorrow, Alabama and Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. How do you see that one?
Absolutely no clue on the motivation there. I don't know why these Alabama guys are playing. For some reason, there's the Jedi mind meld from Nick Saban that forced Jerry Jeudy and these guys to play, but they seem to be happy about it. Look, if Alabama's playing at its highest level, it wins this thing without that much of a problem because they're just that good. But their defense hasn't shown up all that much this year, and that's a team that hasn't been able to beat anybody who's all that great. Michigan's motivation's certainly going to be there. The other part of this thing that's beyond the motivation factor, I know that's kind of what I like to always kind of try to figure out, okay, who cares about this game more? The other flip side of this, who's able to better prepare? Because as we see through this bowl season, you have a lot of kind of statistical and weird anomalies, like Cal up in your former neck of the woods. They scored more than 30 points once all year, and they put 35 up on Illinois. Bryce Perkins was the first 300-yard passer against Florida this year. It wasn't Joe Burrow, wasn't Jake Fromm. He was the first guy to hit 300 yards. Sometimes there's a desperation factor with these teams that they just sort of play a little differently, take more chances, and those well-paid assistants do a pretty good job of figuring out the other weaknesses. I'm not exactly sure what the weakness is of this Alabama offense if Max Jones gets a lot of time to throw. He's certainly not Tua Tagovailoa, but he's good enough where if he's allowed time and that Michigan pass rush doesn't work, that offense and those receivers are going to come out and just light up Michigan.
Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com, is our guest. Pete, it feels like for the first time in a few years, unless I'm missing something, there have not been the reports that Jim Harbaugh is thinking about heading back to the pros as these NFL jobs open up. What does that tell you?
I just think that's kind of a media creation more than anything else. Sometimes it's the Harbaugh to the NFL stuff as an agent sort of thing. I'm a Harbaugh apologist. I know he gets a bad rap because he can't beat Ohio State. If they win tomorrow, then Michigan's going to have 4 10-win seasons in 5 years. And this whole line about, well, he was hired there to win national championships and Big Ten titles. Yeah, well, so is every head coach. Sometimes it doesn't quite work out. There's something to be said for being consistently great. However, this is the exact type of game that Jim Harbaugh's Michigan teams lose. Every one of his losses so far, except for one game against Iowa, and that Iowa team blew out Ohio State that year, every single one of those losses have been against Ohio State or another team that has ended up winning 10 games or more. So he doesn't lose to the Indianas and Purdue's of the world. He loses to the Alabamas of the world. And the Michigan fans, the Harbaugh detractors are always going to be like, well, he can't win these big games. Kind of forgetting that he beat Notre Dame, his team destroyed Notre Dame, and they keep beating Michigan State. But this is one of those spotlight moments that, yeah, Michigan's probably going to lose, and Harbaugh can't coach, and all of a sudden there's this knock on him. But he's still been pretty good.
Pete, let's turn our attention to the Sugar Bowl, Georgia and Baylor. Is Matt Rhule going to find it hard to turn down all that NFL money? We know what he did at Temple. Great job rebuilding Baylor after the Art Briles debacle, and Matt's smart enough to turn down a chance to interview with the Cleveland Browns.
For now. At the day before the Sugar Bowl, he's declining that interview. Let's see what happens after the Sugar Bowl.
And the news, Dorsey is leaving, so the GM job is open as well.
Exactly. GM job open, which means that one Mr. Urban Meyer might be just the right fit for that thing. But I digress. Yeah, if you're get out, go. Look, I'm college football boy here and everything, but it's not the NFL. You know, look, Nick Saban isn't Bill Belichick. These guys want the NFL is the big league for a reason. And if you're Matt Rhule, of course you want to get to the big league, but you want the right fit. And the nice part about his situation now is he can kind of call his shot a little bit about where he wants to end up and what he wants to do. I'm not sure why he's the necessarily the red hot NFL head coach. I know he's a good, smart coach who did a great job with Baylor, but certainly in terms of tacticians and other coaches that are out there, okay. Look, we're in a day and age where you can have a bunch of faceless coaches who lead number one team. Like, ask the average fan on the street, who's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers? Ask the average fan on the street, who's the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers? Look, you got the top teams you got guys who just figure it out. I don't know if you necessarily need a Matt Rhule because he doesn't necessarily bring an entire system change like, say, a Lincoln Riley would. If you get Lincoln Riley, you know what you are bringing. You are bringing an offense and a total culture change. I'm not sure necessarily that that's Matt Rhule.
Pete, great information as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. Happy New Year.
Merry New Year, Mr. Weber. Have a good one.
And we got the sequel coming up, Coming to America 2. Time for one more email. B-Web, did you say the flight deck is in today? Huge surprise. If that fool would come in to work more than once a week, he could figure out how to run another sound out there other than just the presidential march song. Come on. Shane in the SLO. Oh, and this is coming up, too. Can't wait for this one. Ooh. If you like my preview thoughts, download my podcast at the movies with B-Web, wherever you get your podcast. So, this is the end of the year. End of the decade? Not sure. I know this. Year review tomorrow. Jim back on Thursday. And without getting too sentimental, I don't want to get weepy, always appreciate the opportunity to fill in for Jim. Want to thank Jim, Craig Kitchen, Mark Chernoff, all the great people at CBS Sports Radio, the XR4TI today. Garrett and James, happy new year, fellas. Thanks to all of you who called, tweeted, or emailed. Have a great New Year's Eve. Be safe. Be responsible. I'll talk to you in 2020. Happy New Year from all of us at CBS Sports Radio.